did your school tuck shop sell? What did you love? Sunny boys, sausage rolls, finger buns with pink icing. Lick the icing off first, then eat the bun. Wasn't that the way?
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. That's my next guest chiming in here. Now, while donuts and chocolates and soft drinks are supposed to be off the menu in our school canteens, many sugary foods and drinks are in fact not. And it seems a lack of regulation has allowed many food manufacturers to also put school canteen approved logos on what pretty much is junk food destined for children's lunchboxes, with one in four Australian children deemed overweight. Is it time we updated our school tuck shop? Dr. Kieron Rooney is a senior lecturer in biochemistry and exercise physiology. Tonight he's giving a talk over at Sydney University called Sugar Sweetened Schools, a Supply Chain to Childhood Obesity. And he's here to tell us his argument. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Natasha.
In fact, you've written to some ministers on this very issue.
Well, at the moment, we have written a draft letter. We're going to be sending it off on Friday. And what we've actually put together through that's with the team from the I Quit Sugar, Sarah Wilson's I Quit Sugar website. And what we've identified there is two key issues with the current government guidelines that are supposed to be mandated across New South Wales and also either voluntary or mandated across other states across the entire country. And the big issue with the government guidelines that oversee foods for sale in schools at the moment is they completely ignore sugar as a nutrient criteria by which foods are assessed. And also there is no mandatory compliance check. So we have a completely inequitable process across the country, which is mostly dependent just on local factors.
Now, people might not know that there are indeed federal government National Healthy School Canteens guidelines. There's a project that created a set of guidelines and they're quite detailed. I mean, I went and looked through them and I pity the poor school canteen mums and dads and workers who are having to work through this coded system. Describe what it covers at the moment.
It's an amazing system. A year ago, I had no idea that the project was in place either. It wasn't until I had children going to school and realised that there is a policy and nobody's following it. So we had the National Healthy School Canteens Project, which is a federal one, which when you look at the website says that other states can or don't have to pick this up. But in actual fact, every state and territory has created their own individual government guidelines that oversee schools in each individual state.
Every state.
However, they all ignore sugar as a nutrient criteria. So what they do is they look at foods and they base them not necessarily on what where their place is in a diet, but they base them on nutrient criteria. And mostly it's just energy content, saturated fat content, sodium content, and how much fibre.
All important.
All important, but food's far more than just the sum of its individual parts. And when we have a nutrient-based criteria, things can go awfully wrong if you're not checking for all the nutrients. And that's exactly what we have at the moment.
So now the way they work is that they're colour-coded. So
yes.
You've got green, amber and red.
Yes.
What do they cover?
Okay, so the traffic lights that they have, the first thing that is a bit of a problem with these is that they're not restrictive, they're advisory, which means green means they should be available every day. Orange or amber means that they should be occasionally available or you should select them carefully. And the red suggests that they should not be on the menu, or in certain states, such as in New South Wales, it's prescriptive to no more than twice per term.
So what would be in the red section?
Okay,
example?
So in the red,
we're talking about the old finger buns and the old
definitely. So what
sunny boys and the, you know.
So the red ones across the board are confectionery, sugar sweetened beverages. There is a specific ban, at least in New South Wales and Victoria, that has sugar sweetened beverages not available at any time during schools. So if your school is selling any soft drink, then they are breaking the rules. Confectionery is a red food. And should not be available in some states more than twice per term. Chocolates. And when we then have a look at what is an amber food, we have these criteria. And effectively, they are what we would call discretionary foods. They're chocolate chip biscuits. They're chips. They are ice creams. They are cakes. They are foods that, if you follow the Australian dietary guidelines, which should govern what everybody in Australia is eating, they would say that these foods should be limited to no more than 10% of your daily energy. Mm. But we know that they're available every day in canteens. They are available every day in people's lunchboxes, and our children are eating far more of these foods than they ever have before.
Well, the World Health Organization takes that 10% a step further now, and earlier this month they produced a draft guideline on sugar which says that 5% of energy intake, not 10% as it used to be or currently is, should be derived from sugar. And that covers sugar. That their suggestion is sugar right across the diet, not just in manufactured foods, but also in juices and the like, doesn't it?
Well, I'm not too sure about that. On the World Health Organization's recommendations, they are talking about added sugars, added dietary sugars specifically. So they state things about syrups that you put in there and sweeteners. So the 5%, no more than 5% of your diet coming from added sugars.
That's 6 teaspoons of sugar, I think.
For an adult. For a child, it's around about 3. And when we have a look at some of the products that are actually stamped green canteen approved for our child to have every day, they contain 3 teaspoons of added sugar in them.
Now, you've got a prop.
Yes, I do. I've got a whole bag of them.
Give us a look, quick. Sorry, folks. He's brought a massive... Oh, my God. We have got in the studio a massive bag of... there's some dog foods there. That doesn't count. But we've got chips and we've got Cocoa Pops and we've got more chips. That's got a big monster on the front. And we've got dog food. That's dog food. No, right.
Okay.
Dog branded kids food. So now what do you want to illustrate with these foods that you've brought in?
All right, so I went to Coles on the weekend.
Sure did.
I went to a supermarket on the weekend. I went and I just bought one of every item that has a branded logo on it that says this food meets canteen approval or it is lunchbox friendly. And I spent $180 just on buying one item of each. Now, there's a couple of things to point out here. These logos are made up by the manufacturers. There is no governing body across the country that regulates whether or not this food is approved. So if we take a look at this,
we've got a packet of chips, chicken flavoured chips, noodle snacks, and there's a big blue and orange logo that said Healthy School Canteen Strategy, Amber compliant.
That's
so
right.
So where does that logo come from?
Okay, so the people who manufactured that particular product came up with that one. So if I show you this other product, you'll see... So if you look at a different product, logo.
So we've got another logo that's a sort of blue circle with a lunchbox full of lovely healthy food in it, like apples and sandwiches and lettuce, and it says Meet School Canteen Guidelines, and that's a packet of rice snacks. Might be a bit better off.
And then if we come up with another one, a different logo.
And this is
logo.
A packet of sort of lolly tiny teddies by a brand name we won't mention. So similar idea. And, similar idea. Meets Amber Guidelines.
Yeah. So I wrote an article on the ABC Drum back in January because over the summer there was an explosion of these logos within our supermarkets. Now, what happens is the current government guidelines are not regulated. Nobody checks what goes on with them.
None at all
none
across
at all.
Any states.
No.
Is there any state where they're trying to maintain some sort of compliance in canteens? Okay. And if they did, who would be responsible for that?
Okay, so Western Australia does have some form of compliance check. But even there, compliance with the guidelines is not at 100%. All right? So what has happened then is food manufacturers have been able this summer to go out and go, I can reformulate my food or I can provide them in serving sizes that meet these criteria. And then I can say they're canteen approved. Now,
has anyone taken the manufacturers to task on their use of this logo at all?
As far as I know, not yet.
So totally unregulated.
Totally unregulated, which means we've got two issues here. They're Amber compliant, that's right. So now what the claims that the manufacturers are making are not wrong. They're not false. They definitely meet the nutrient criteria, and that's one huge issue with the nutrient criteria process. It means that these foods can be stamped as approved. But the issue here as well is that they play on the... buying power of parents and children. You could sit there and you could honestly think, oh, this food has been approved. I'll buy it and I can put it in my child's lunchbox and it's okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of food in that massive bag that you've brought in that my grandmother would not have recognised as food and certainly not my great-grandmother.
Exactly right.
So now what would you like to see change in terms of the school canteen guidelines? And I imagine one of them is for them to be enforced, but in terms of their content.
Okay, so... there's two arms that we need to go down here. We need to think initially in the long term, what we need to do is move away from a nutrient-based criteria. A nutrient-based criteria is fraught with dangers because we don't know exactly what nutrients are healthy and bad and in what conditions. The science is not in on that, and yet we try to use science to say it is. What we need to develop is a guideline process that moves away from nutrient-based criteria, highlights what this discretionary processed food is, and it's sometimes food that should not be made available within schools. And that's something I like to point out to people. I'm not saying that you can't feed your children this.
Well, kids will make their own decisions at some point when they get their own cash anyway.
But I'm saying
it doesn't all happen at the school canteen. It happens at the local milk bar, at the servo, at the newsagent on the way home.
Well, that is the core of the problem here. What we're talking about, our school should not be endorsing this food. We should be starting education from kindergarten right through to year 12 to point out to kids that this food should not be consumed at will. And if we put a restriction on our schools, then at least between the hours of 9 and 3, from the ages of 5 to 18, our children are being reinforced, not just with the health curriculum they learn in class, but in the practices of the playground.
I should just say that we're talking to Kieran Rooney. He's a senior lecturer in biochemistry and exercise physiology at the University of Sydney. He's giving a talk tonight, Sugar-Sweetened Schools, a Supply Chain to Childhood Obesity. Now, you've got sugar in your sights primarily.
Yes. Now, and that is the immediate action. That is what Sarah Wilson, the I Quit Sugar team, have jumped on board to support and add some weight to. And that is, if we have a look at some of the products that have been stamped green, one of which is a liquid breakfast. Now, because sugar is not included as a nutrient criteria, this product is stamped green approved, consume every day.
And it's a chocolate milk liquid breakfast.
It is just low-fat milk, a little bit of vegetable fibre called inulin, a whole whack of sugar, and then a couple of minerals and vitamins thrown in for good measure. If we take full cream plain milk, for example, it's an orange amber food. So what we're actually saying with our guidelines is, because we don't care about sugar at the moment, from a government perspective, you can drink chocolate milk every day for health, but you can't have full cream milk.
Although I do notice that the fairly new Australian dietary guidelines, updated from the National Health and Medical Research Council, suggest low-fat alternatives for dairy milk, yogurt, cheese, for children over 2 years old. So now, they wouldn't say full fat is a goer.
No, absolutely. But let's have a think about this for one moment. The Health Star rating system that appeared and then disappeared. Choice magazine last week or so released some foods that they assessed by the calculator, because they got a copy of the calculator before it disappeared. So I emailed them. I said, could you rate this liquid breakfast for me, please, with the new star system? Now, the star system includes sugar as a criteria. This green food becomes 2 stars. The plain milk, even full cream, which is amber, becomes 4 stars. So that is an identifier for how the current canteen guidelines are completely inadequate with our national Australian dietary guidelines. The Australian dietary guidelines last year came out and added sugar into the same barrel as foods high in saturated fat, high in salt, and low in fat and alcohol.
So the current national guidelines for canteens, though, even if they aren't enforced, do say limit intake of foods and drinks containing added sugars such as confectionery, sugar-sweetened soft drinks and cordials, fruit drinks, vitamin waters, energy and sports drinks. So it's been acknowledged.
It's lip service, right? Because looking at this bag of products here, provided that the specific criteria is only energy, fat and sodium. So provided my manufacturer just looks at energy, fat and sodium, they can pack it full of sugar and it can still be sold. Because, yes, limit food with added sugars in it. That's the extent of the restriction. But so what we need to do is, if the Australian dietary guidelines say sugar is just as bad as saturated fat, sodium and high energy foods and alcohol, sugar is in that barrel now, which means we should update our government canteen guidelines to represent what we have nationally.
And what about enforcement, finally?
So the compliance check is an incredible barrel here. Unfortunately, at the moment, what we've got is the government have come up with a policy, as weak as it is, and then they've washed their hands of it. And they've said the person who's responsible for implementing this is school principals.
Who have got quite a bit on their plate.
Oh, just a little bit. So you can understand why canteen foods and nutrition drops down the list of priorities, because they've got a whole lot of other issues to worry about within their schools than food. And, you know, when we know that some people like to bring out the only person who's responsible for the food I eat is me, then we have a lot of personal issues we need to deal with there as well. So we need to take that issue away from local factors, because also what that's doing is provides a huge inequity. We'll have schools who have engaged parents who care about health who will protest and rally their schools to make changes. And then we'll have other schools who, if they don't necessarily care or they don't know need to change, it doesn't
happen.
There's
a lot of emotion around this. There's even emotion around get rid of the junk food from canteens, because people feel quite nostalgic about having a little bit of a pink finger bun at school, it seems.
Look, people get very angry at me because they think I'm anti-treat. And look, I'm not anti-treats. I'm just saying that my school should not be giving them out to my children because there's only such a small amount that a child should be able to have each day. That if they're eating them between 9 and 3 every day, then there's no scope for me as a parent to use that, right?
Well, you've brought in a whole stack of treats, and at this point I think we might say goodbye and eat our way through this bag of synthetic crap.
Help yourself to it, Natasha.
Look, thank you very much for coming in. I have no doubt we'll get a big response to this one, actually. Yep. Parents care a lot about the food that their children eat, and if they don't, they might need to.
Well, look, if you're in Sydney, there's still a few spaces left for tonight's talk at Sydney Uni. Ideas.
We're going to put the details on the Life Matters website of that. Kieran Rooney, Dr. Kieran Rooney, nutritionist and senior lecturer from Sydney University. Senior lecturer in biochemistry and exercise physiology joining us to talk about, what's in your tuck shop. And we'll put details of the presentation he's giving tonight on our website.